above it all. You reign above it all.
Come on, sing it out this morning.
Over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. Let all of heaven and the earth erupt in song. Sing hallelujah to the everlasting one. There is no higher name. Jesus, you reign above it all. The reign of darkness now has ended. In the kingdom of light, in the kingdom of light. Of my life, you're the king of my life, and you reign above it all, you reign above it all, and over the universe and over every heart, there is no higher name. creation to sing his praise again.
Come on, you sing, you sing. This room, let it voices.
Let it rain, and let it rain, and open the floodgates of heaven.
Come on, one more time.
And let
Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that came rushing in. Father, I pray that you would just seal this time of worship, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Yeah, let's give him one more shout of praise today. Come on. Come on. You guys can turn and greet your neighbor and say hi to a couple people, and then you can find your seat.
We're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all the things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page, use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using our Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many amazing opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet me at the Connect desk. We love you, Harvest Time family, and have an awesome week.
Good morning. My name is Jeff Korfeld, and I'm the Missions Director here at Harvest Time. Please enjoy the following greeting from one of the many missionaries and mission organizations we support. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and giving.
Hello, Harvest Time Church. This is Gloria Biffert, your missionary to the Democratic Republic of Congo. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support over the number of years that I've been there. Thank you for continuing to help train teachers in our elementary and secondary schools, as well as training professors in our Bible school and seminary. I will continue to teach and work with women in the many churches in the capital city, as well as the youth and some children's ministry as well. Thank you so much for what you do for missions around the world. God is doing great things. He's planting churches in the Congo. We still have many different things happening in various parts of the Congo. Please pray for those pastors that are just newly started. Our Bible school in 2019 had gone up to almost 50 students, and now we're at almost 150 because we have opened up a night school. More and more lay people working during the day are able to go to classes at night, and little by little they're able to get their degree, BA degrees in theology as well. Thank you so much for what you give to spread the gospel in the DRC. We are blessed and we pray for you. Thank you so much.
How great is it to be a part of a church that supports global missions? How great is it to be a part of a church that supports global missions? I think that deserves a good cheer and celebration. Thank you so much for everybody who pledged to missions during our missions weekend. As we continue to go through this year, if you've pledged, continue to send in and meet your pledge so that way we can continue to expand how many missionaries we can impact throughout the world. So it's exciting to hear these stories, and we're going to every month hear from a missionary and just the work that they're doing and be able to realize that we can have an impact from Greenwich all the way in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Congo, because they have condos there as well. So that's what we're investing in, guys, condos. You know, no, I'm just kidding. Democratic Republic of Congo. But welcome to Harvest Time Church. If this is your first or second time, if you're new, it is such a privilege to have you starting your week with us. If this is your home church, welcome home as always. We love spending Sundays with you. A couple things we want to let you know about. Right after this service, we are having a life group expo downstairs in our Connect Lounge. If you are not a part of a life group, can I encourage you to head downstairs after the service, find a life group. We have about 30 groups, which means we have a group that's perfect for you in this season, whether you're single, married, whether you are young, whether you're older, whatever it is, we have a group that you can be a part of. And here's the thing, we are built to be in community. It is massively important in this faith journey that we have other people that are praying for us, that we're praying for, that are holding us accountable, and we can hold others accountable. So here's the thing, a life group is a great way to do that. If you're heading into 2022 and you're like, I need some good friends in my life, we'll see you right after the service downstairs in the Connect Lounge. Get you connected to a life group. They kick off this week. So just start from day one and be a part of a life group. Also want to let you know that this Wednesday night, HTU kicks off. Life in the Spirit 101 kicks off on Wednesday night in this room. If you have not been a part of it, that's a great thing. If you're like, I don't know if I want a life group, but I do know that I need to grow in my relationship with Jesus as well. Life in the Spirit is a great place to start. We also have incredible HTU life groups. So if you're interested in the prophetic, we have a group that's meeting around that. If you're interested in deliverance, we have a group that's meeting around deliverance. If you're interested in understanding tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, like this, we have a group for that as well. So you need to know we have some place for you to be a part of to grow in your relationship with Jesus first and foremost, and grow in your relationship with other people. So don't miss out. Head downstairs right after the service. We also have a worship team open call next Saturday. So if you're like, the Lord's called me to sing, great. We would love to see you on Saturday. We always say this, it doesn't matter if you can carry a tune or not. If you look like you're having fun and you like to worship, we'll just turn your mic off while you're up here. Smiling works just as well as singing. It turns out if somebody's singing and they're not smiling, do you believe anything they're singing anyways? It's true. The smile really helps if you're worshiping Jesus. So, but we would love, if you play an instrument, if you're interested in production, being a part of lyrics, or doing anything of that nature, we'd love to see you go downstairs. We have a thing you can sign up for that as well. But we just need you to know that this is a church that we want you to be a part of. Being here on a Sunday is great. It's awesome to see you on a Sunday. But really, Sunday should be the overflow of what we've been doing together in community Monday through Saturday. And we get back together and we just pour it all out because we've been so filled with the Spirit, so filled with relationships, so filled in community, so filled in the Word, that the outpouring is just what happens when we finally gather on Sunday mornings. So be a part of something, and we look forward to seeing you downstairs. So we're going to take a moment and talk about our giving. If you walked in, you're going to see in your program that was given to you, you're going to see an envelope. You can give this way. Thank you so much for giving every week in and week out, just being generous. Also want to thank everybody who's watching us online. Thank you for being a part of our Harvest Time online community. It's so great to see everybody that tunes in faithfully. There's going to be a link in the chat. You can click to give that way. You can also give by text, which is really easy. You can go to our website and give online as well. But I want to encourage you with the scriptures. Paul writes this to the church in Philippi. He says, and my God, can you just go ahead and say, my God will supply all your needs. Do me a favor. Look at your neighbor and say, your needs. Now look at the other neighbor you ignored and say, your needs as well. He will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. How do you know that is just a good verse to walk into 2022 with? I love that our God will supply all our needs according to his good riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That means we can step out in faith and trust in a God who has never failed and will never fail with our finances, with our family issues, with our businesses, with the things that we are going through. God is trustworthy because he is good. Can we be a church that takes a word that does not return void, and we build our life off of that? It's good when Paul wrote it. It's good when I'm talking about it right now. Amen? Amen. If you've got your gift, hold it in your hand. If you give each week through texting and giving, hold your phone in your hand. This is the only time we're ever going to ask you in church to hold your phone. The one time. So, you know, just hold it real tight. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you take just acts of generosity, Lord, and you do more through it than we ever could have imagined. Lord, this isn't something that we do because we have to do it. This is something we do because we get to do, which is to give back to the local church to continue to see the gospel move forward. So, Father, we pray for what is brought in. Lord, let it touch more lives than we ever thought possible. Lord, supernaturally multiply it as it comes in ways that we could not have imagined. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray that you would open up supernatural windows of heaven over every family, every person, Lord, that continues to sow faithfully into what it is you're doing. Lord, bless their families, bless their businesses. Lord, bless their personal life, bless their dreams, their endeavors. Lord, and just pour out your favor on them. Father, we love you. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. And we all said, amen. As you do that, why don't you turn to the screens?
Just one word, the darkness has to retreat. Oh, just one touch, I feel the presence of heaven. Just one touch, my eyes were open to see. My heart can't help but believe there's nothing that not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name that makes a way. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's nothing that our God can't do. There's not a mountain that he can't move. Oh, praise the name.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about God's plan for you. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. So glad that you've joined us for worship. Didn't our worship team do a good job leading us today? And welcome to everybody that is worshiping with us online. We're so glad that you're with us. We had a great time this last Friday evening in the presence of the Lord, just pursuing him and being in his presence. Did you feel that moment during our worship when the presence of the Lord just came into this place? I'm telling you, just a moment in His presence changes everything. A moment in His presence changes the atmosphere. It just changes your mindset. Just a moment. You know, you can go to, we believe in counseling, and there's a lot of help. Just a moment in His presence can do what years of counseling can't do. Amen. I'm not saying there's no value in it. I'm just saying a moment in His presence can change everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, these are the words of King Solomon. He writes in verse 9, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one alone keep warm? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Let's talk for just a few minutes about God's plan for you. Harvest Time Church exists for three things. Who can say them with me? We are here to help people believe, belong, and be light. Not belight, be light. Immediately after the service today, we want to invite you to go downstairs and check out 30 life groups that are launching this week. By the way, if you've never stopped downstairs after services, I want to tell you that the donuts alone are worth the trip downstairs. We have the best donuts. They're just the right amount of cinnamon, the right amount of sweet, and they're just the right size to eat several of them. But I want to make a compelling case today for why you should join a life group. I want to talk about why it's so important to belong, and I hope I won't be long. Whether you realize it or not, the enemy has a diabolical plan for your life. The devil's plan for you is isolation. How many of you know that isolation is the biggest problem in our culture today that has ever been in the history of our country? The more that we're connected here, the less that we're connected to one another in reality. The devil wants you to live in loneliness, and then he wants you to spend all of eternity in total isolation. In the beginning, our enemy deceived our first parents into disobeying God. Here's what you must realize about sin. Sin is a separator. The moment that our first parents fell into sin, they were immediately separated from God, and they also became separated from one another. They hid from God, and they covered up in front of one another. Shame and blame and conflict and dissatisfaction became part of their marriage relationship in Genesis chapter 3. Listen. The consequences of sin is isolation. As the story of Genesis unfolds, the isolation that began in the first marriage quickly spread to the entire first family. In Genesis chapter 4, there's jealousy and brotherly rivalry and murderous hatred and one brother lifting his hand against the other brother. Cain's story ends in his isolation. In spite of all kinds of advancements in the arts and sciences and technology, in Genesis chapters 5 and 6, the isolation within the first family spread to all of human society. From the beginning, the devil's plan has always been to separate us from God and to separate us from one another, but his ultimate goal is our eternal isolation. Do you know Jesus talked more about heaven and hell than anyone else in the Bible? Jesus described hell as outer darkness. In addition to the other torments of hell, lost souls in hell, will suffer endlessly in total isolation. There will be no one to hear them. There will be no one to converse with. There will be no one to listen or to empathize. There will be no camaraderie in hell. There is no comfort whatsoever. Lost souls in hell will not suffer together. They will suffer entirely alone. But God has an entirely different plan. God's plan for you is belonging. God's plan is to reconcile you to himself through the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross so that you can belong to him. Through faith in Christ, God wants to become your father, and he wants you to become his child. Can I tell you that that is the theology that we designed into the architecture of this sanctuary because of what Jesus did on the cross? The barrier between us and God has been removed, and now we belong to him, and we live and we worship under an open heaven. And when we belong to God, we belong to his family. Other believers in him are brothers and sisters. And can I tell you, I've seen over the years that sometimes that bond God creates is even so much tighter than with our own blood relatives. And the Holy Spirit is with us to continually reinforce our connection with the Father and our connection with one another so that we live every day in the confidence that we are not alone in this life. God's ultimate goal for us is belonging for all of eternity. St. Paul wrote that in heaven we will ever be with the Lord and we will ever be with one another. Heaven is going to be a wonderful reunion. It's going to be a wonderful experience of togetherness and a wonderful celebration of belonging. Now follow me. Here on earth, God wants us to practice belonging. And this is the place where we do it, in the fellowship of believers. Just before we go downstairs, I want to share some reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group. Few reasons God wants you to belong to a life group. On your way in, you received a program, and your program is an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, watch the screens, fill in the blanks, and follow along. For those worshiping online with us today, if you like a copy of the sermon outline, there's a link to a PDF file in the chat section. You can click on that and have an outline of today's sermon. A few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group. First of all, for productivity, productivity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon envisions a walking journey. And he contrasts how much better it is to take a walking journey with a companion rather than doing it alone. The first contrast he makes is that people walking together travel faster than people walking alone. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Came across a New York Times article about the science of walking. A study found that when two men walk together, they walk faster and further and longer than when one man walks alone. The researchers concluded that the camaraderie as well as the competitive nature of men caused the men to push themselves at a faster pace than they would walk alone. And because men are proud, nobody wants to be the first one to call it quits. Similar studies have been done on work. Two people working together don't just produce double the output, but they produce 8 or 10 times more work. You know, the Bible describes this life as a journey, a pilgrimage to heaven. And in order to cover all the ground that God wants us to cover and accomplish all he wants us to accomplish, we need the close companionship of fellow believers, the kind of friendship we find in small groups. If we do this journey together, we'll travel further and faster and longer than we ever could alone. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, don't neglect meeting together as some people do, but let's encourage each other, especially in times like these. Listen, I know the last 2 years have been absolutely nuts and crazy, and hopefully the news about Omicron is getting better. The number of cases are dropping. Hopefully it's on its way out. But how many of you know in crazy times like this, we don't need less meeting, we need more meeting. We need each other more. We need to be together more, not less. A few reasons God wants you to belong to a life group. For productivity, here's another thought, for recovery, for recovery. Solomon not only thought about the pace of walking, but he thought about the potential pitfalls. Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. The movie 127 Hours tells the true story of 27-year-old Aaron Ralston. Aaron was canyoneering in Utah when his forearm became pinned by an 800-pound boulder. He hadn't told anyone that he was going hiking. He hadn't told anyone where he would be. He had no way of calling for help. After being trapped for 5 days, he was dehydrated, he was hypothermic, he was hallucinating, and he realized that if he didn't free himself, he would die. So using a dull pocket knife, he amputated his own arm. And all God's people said, yuck. Ouch would work too. After he freed himself, he had to rappel down a 65-foot canyon and hike 7 miles before he found help. By the time he was rescued, he had lost 40 pounds and about a quarter of his blood. Beloved, can I tell you, as beautiful as life is, there are many dangers. There are many pitfalls that catch us unawares. Before we know it, we find ourselves stuck. We find ourselves injured. We find ourselves in need of help. And that's precisely why we need the company of close Christian friends. At some point in life, we all fall down. The prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. St. Paul said, all of us have missed the mark. All of us have fallen short. We all stumble. We all wander off the path of God's goodness. And when we do, we find ourselves stuck in dangerous places. Stuck in self-defeating, self-destructive patterns of living, stuck in addiction, stuck in toxic relationships. And if we don't find a way to get free, we will die like that, and many people do. When we fall into sin, we turn to God for forgiveness, but we turn to God's family for healing. The Bible says in the book of James, confess your sins to one another, pray for each other, and you'll be healed. When we confess our sins and share our struggles with close Christian friends, God uses them to administer holy first aid to us. Our friends pray for us. Our friends encourage us with scripture. I had a little scuffle with my neighbor down the street last fall. We had a group meet at our house, and some of the kids parked along King Street on the neighbor's lawn, and I got a just really, really nasty, nasty note from the neighbor across the street. And I got to tell you the truth. Like, does anybody else do this? I write replies that I never send. Anybody else? And they're good replies. They're really good replies. But I have a Wednesday night men's group. We meet together back in the office suite. And so I took my situation to the guys and I said, you know, has anybody else happened? You know, something little happens and it rents space in your head all day long. You can't stop thinking about it. You know, you're just so worked up about it that you can't let it go. You can't concentrate. And I brought this situation to my men's group and I knew what they were going to tell me. A soft answer turns away wrath. They gave me good advice. They gave me good counsel. You know what? The next day I left a big bouquet of flowers and a baguette and a box of cookies on the neighbor's doorstep and a note saying, I'm so sorry that we parked on your grass, you know. And I got a phone call from the neighbor later that day. And guess what? Rather than, how many of you know neighbor trouble is the worst kind of trouble to have of all? Rather than an enemy, I made a friend. But it happened because I got good advice. Everyone said, how many of you know the pastor even needs good advice sometimes? I got good advice. I got good counsel. That's what happens when we're stuck, when we share our problems with our friends. They encourage us from Scripture. They encourage us from their own experiences. Paul said that the same comfort that we have received from God in the midst of our struggles is now a reservoir inside of us of comfort. And when you're in trouble, we minister that comfort to you. So listen, if some of you have had a scuffle with your neighbor, take a reservoir from my reservoir. A soft answer turns away wrath. When we share our struggles with Christian friends, God uses them in the gifts of the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Somebody has a word of wisdom for us, a word of direction from the Lord. Somebody has a word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit that really puts its finger on the spiritual root of the problem we're going through. Someone might pray a prayer of faith over us and bring a breakthrough. Our Christian friends walk close beside us. They hold us steady until we're fully recovered and we're ready to walk on our own. Few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group: for productivity, for recovery. Here's another thought: for intimacy. The next challenge Solomon envisions on a walking journey is the cold nights. Two are better than one. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm, but one alone cannot keep warm. Isn't it ironic that the places that are hazardously hot during the day are also the places that are dangerously cold at night? Life is like that. Life is given to extremes, high highs and low lows. And through it all, God wants us to experience the warmth of being genuinely close to other people. Did you know that loneliness is the worst kind of psychological suffering that people can possibly experience? Those who study psychology and human behavior, those who deal with corrections, those who deal with interrogations have concluded that solitary confinement is the worst kind of punishment and it is the worst kind of torture. Think about this. Even in the absolute perfection of the Garden of Eden, God looked at Adam and said, it is not good for a man to be alone. If it's not good to be alone in a perfect world, how much worse is it to be alone in a sin-broken world that's full of troubles and conflict? That's good right there, isn't it? What does intimacy require? One thing intimacy requires is exclusivity. You know, you can worship in a big crowd. In fact, it's fun to worship in a big crowd, but you can't have fellowship with a big crowd. We love everybody, but it's just not possible to be close with everybody. None of us has the capacity for that. Jesus ministered to crowds of thousands, but he fellowshipped in a group of 12. Intimacy requires a commitment to one another. It's something more than just hanging out on occasion. It's the decision that we belong to one another on an ongoing basis. Another thing intimacy requires is quantity of time together. In all of our lives, busyness is the great enemy of relationships. It's not possible to become intimate friends with other believers 5 minutes before service begins and 10 minutes after it ends on a Sunday. Intimacy requires sitting together, sharing food with one another, learning about each other. It requires frequency, and you do that over a period of time, and such affection develops between you and brothers and sisters. We host young adults in our home for dinner on Tuesday evenings, and I love every part of it, the beginning, the middle, and the end, but the very best part of dinner party is at the end when we break up into groups of three or four and we just pray for each other for the week. And I want to tell you, the affection of the Lord, the love of the Lord is tangible with us in those moments when we pray for each other. Another thing intimacy requires is vulnerability. The world says intimacy happens in the dark, but God says intimacy happens in the light. Intimacy happens when we open up and share our struggles and troubles. St. John wrote, "If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin." Solomon said, "Honesty is better than a kiss on the lips." Listen, we can't tell the whole church every struggle that we have. Please don't. Most people are on a need-to-know basis. They don't need to know. But you do need to have a small circle of close Christian friends who know you and who know what's going on in your life. Here's why we want you to join a life group at HTC. In a life group, you will find everything you need to build intimate friendships with other believers: exclusivity, commitment, quantity of time, affection, and vulnerability. A few reasons God went, you doing all right this morning? You want those donuts, don't you? I hope the greedy people in first service left you some donuts for after service. Few reasons God wants you to belong: productivity, recovery, intimacy. Here's another thought for security. The next danger Solomon envisions on the walking journey is thugs. Two are better than one. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. In the ancient world, and still today, muggers and robbers and violent criminals were and are a real threat to people on foot. But people are far less likely to be attacked when they're walking with someone else. Jesus said, "Our enemy, the devil, is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy." St. Peter said he's a lion looking for someone to pounce on and devour. But in fellowship with close Christians, there is safety. While we were ministering in Kenya, our friend Pastor Mike Brown took us on a safari in a game park. And I learned something interesting about zebras. As long as zebras stick together, they are safe from a lion attack. When zebras run in a pack from a lion, all of their stripes create a moving pattern that confuses the eye of the lion. The lion can't focus in on one animal and pounce. But if one zebra gets separated away from the rest of the pack, then the lion can fix his eyes and bring that animal down. Can I tell you, that's just like us. There's safety in numbers. We watch out for one another. We warn one another if we're moving toward the fringes, if we're moving into the danger zone and might become easy prey. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, warn each other every day while there's still time, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. A few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group: productivity, recovery, intimacy, security. Last one, worship team, you can come and help me finish. God wants you to belong to a life group for longevity. For longevity. Solomon considers one final danger of a walking journey, and that's the battle of the will, the temptation to give in to exhaustion or discouragement, the temptation to turn back, to go back to what is comfortable and familiar rather than soldiering forward for the Lord. Solomon said that a rope of three strands, a braided rope, is not easily broken. It doesn't easily fray. It doesn't easily snap. It endures. There's something that makes, everybody look at me, there's something that makes Christian friendships different than any other kind of friendships. The difference is Christ. He is the third strand that is interwoven into every Christian friendship. And because his presence is interwoven into our fellowship, we don't wear out. We don't fray. We can't be divided. We don't snap under extreme pressure. You know, Jesus said, the one who endures to the end shall be saved. St. Paul said, endure hardship as a good soldier. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him. St. James wrote, the man who endures temptation will be blessed. He'll receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. I've been walking with Jesus since I was 8 years old, and I've seen a lot of stuff go down from the perspective of a boy, from the perspective of a youth, and now from the perspective of a man. And I'll tell you this, the difference that I've seen between those who endure in the Christian life and those who don't is close fellowship with Christian friends. We want you to join a life group here at HTC because we want you to make it. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to go downstairs, check out our groups. Pastor Denise is doing a group on Wednesdays about the indwelling Holy Spirit called The Glory Within. It's a group for ladies. Our friends Brian and Terry Kelly are doing a group on prophecy. Pastor Ruth is doing a group on deliverance ministry. Pastor Nick's going to be teaching life in the Spirit here in the sanctuary. We have groups for ladies that meet throughout the week, different days, different times. Groups for men that meet. We have some virtual groups that meet by Zoom only. Hopefully this will be the last push and we can start meeting in person. But we do have online groups. We have groups for couples. We have all kinds of groups going on. I hope you'll become part of them. Let me finish with this. The pastor of a small church in the English countryside noticed that a member of his flock was missing for a few weeks. So on a cold and rainy night, he decided to go pay the man a visit. When the man answered the door, he immediately knew why the pastor had come. He showed the pastor into his study where he had a nice warm fire going in the fireplace, and the two sat down on either side of the fire. Feeling embarrassed, the man waited for the pastor to say something, but instead, he just sat quietly. For about 20 minutes, the two of them stared wistfully into the fire. Then the pastor leaned forward and he took the tongs and he pulled a burning coal out of the fire and he set it on the hearth. The two men watched in silence while the orange flame flickered out from the interior of that coal and it became covered with white ash. Finally, it went out and a thin trail of smoke wafted upwards. The pastor reached forward again and he picked up that coal with the tongs and he put it back on the fire and immediately it blazed to life again. Just then the clock struck 9 and the pastor said, I've got to get going. As he stepped out the front door, the man said, thank you, Pastor, for the fiery sermon. I'll see you this Sunday. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Belonging to other believers is what keeps the flame of faith alive inside of us. We're going to take a walking journey together downstairs, and I hope that you'll join us. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Come on, don't give him a sleepy January praise. Let's give him a good praise this morning. His plan for us is belonging. That's good news. That's very, very good news. Come on, lift up your faces, lift up your hands, lift up your voices. Let's sing, let's worship. How many of you know he reigns above it all? He reigns above COVID. He reigns above Omicron. He reigns above all the political situations all over the world. He reigns above the economy. He reigns above it all. Do you believe that? Would you lift your hands up? I want to pray for you and bless you. Father, I thank you for the people that you love so much. Jesus, you love your church. You gave your life for your church. You shed your blood, Lord, so that we could belong, so that we could belong to the Father, and so that we could belong to one another. Lord, I pray for every person who is fighting a battle with loneliness and isolation, Lord. Father, I pray that you would pour the love of God into their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of God inside would cry out, Abba, Father, I belong, Father, I belong, Father, I belong to you, you belong to me. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd strengthen bonds of relationship in the body. We belong to one another in Jesus. Lift up your hands, Lord, pour out your blessing on your people. Father, I pray that you'd protect us. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd grant us divine health. Lord, I pray that everything we touch would prosper and bring a good result and a good financial return. Lord, I pray you'd bless our relationships, bless marriages, Lord, with intimacy. Lord, bless relationships between parents and children, Lord, family members and friends, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd crown this new year, 2022, Lord, with your blessing. Lord, as we go our way, I pray, Lord, that your presence would go with us until we come together again rejoicing. And everybody said, amen and amen. Come on, lift up your voice. Sing it one more time. You reign above it all. And then you may be dismissed. God bless you, everybody.